Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help you to focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's good to be back. And there's different city burning last night, different city. It's been focused on, what was it, Minneapolis first, and then La Mesa, oddly enough. Now, last night, Atlanta. Apparently, anytime there's an altercation between law enforcement and a black dude, I guess the rule is now you're allowed to burn down at least one business. They burned down a Wendy's in Atlanta after Wendy's donated, I think, $500,000 to, I forget what it was, progressive African-American causes, whatever that means. And then they were thanked by the mob in Atlanta by, they burned their store down. Anyway, I had a friend was going to do research on George Floyd. I said, don't put too much time into it because George Floyd could be old news by, you know, the end of the week. And so now we've got the next one, and I don't know, I don't think this stops now. It's really, it's depressing to see the country being broken and taken away from us right before our very eyes. It's happening right before our eyes. And there aren't enough men of moral certitude to take it back from them. So the communists are taking over without a shot fired. Well, there have been shots fired. And we'll get into some of that. But I want to start with some good news. The good news today, where does this one come from? This comes from Georgia before the latest riot and the burning and the all that. Black Lives Matter, leftist agitators down there in Georgia. They were having their riots and their mostly peaceful protests, except for the riots and the looting and the stealing and the beating and the punching and the kicking and the raping. But other than that, it was mostly violent. I'm sorry, mostly peaceful. Don't want to slip up there. I could lose my license. I could be canceled. Anyway, the Black Lives Matter agitators approached a Georgia state trooper named O'Neill Sadler. And they told him he needed to kneel, and he politely refused. He said he was recorded, and I'll post this up so you can see the video. It's fun to watch. He was recorded telling a female agitator that he only kneels for one person, and that's God. And then the agitators went crazy. I mean, it was like a pack of wild dogs. Really bizarre to watch. Anyway, we appreciate Georgia State Trooper O'Neill Sadler. Did I mention he was a black fella? Doesn't really matter. If he was a white fella, they probably would have beat him to death. But he survived, at least at last report, he survives. But we'll see what happens with him. Okay, so can we have any fun with that? Not really. We're not allowed. We can't have fun anymore. I'll try to find some laughs in the show, but I'm not so sure we'll be able to. Speaking of shots fired, this is from the shots fired file. Let's see. We had a deputy in this was in where was this? This was in Paso Robles, central coast of California. A California deputy was shot in the head during an ambush attack. And then they chased the killer down. His name was Mason James Lira, a 26-year-old transient, which means he was a bum. And he killed he didn't kill the deputy, at least not yet. The deputy has a bullet lodged in his head. And anyway, they tracked down Mason James Lira, the 26-year-old transient. The search for him They searched for him. The police officer helping with the search was wounded when Lyra engaged in a shootout. Additional officers arrived. Lyra opened fire on them, wounding two more. Three officers wounded in the takedown were in good condition. And the deputy with the bullet in his head remains in serious condition. And that's after Santa Cruz. Let's see. So the suspect killed a sheriff's deputy in Santa Cruz. And police are investigating possible motive and link between the suspect, Steven Cirillo, and the fatal shooting of a federal security officer in Oakland back when the riots were going on back in Oakland. Sergeant Damon Gutzweiler, 38, is the Santa Cruz area officer. He was shot and killed by Steve Cirillo. And so shots have been fired. And so what's going on here? It's hard to say. I mean, there could be a connection, some personal. It could be marginal people allow themselves to be pushed over the edge when things get hectic and insane. You know, they get pushed over the edge by the mob. Or I shouldn't say they get pushed over. They allow themselves to be pushed over the edge. And then another thing is that when there's mayhem and riots and looting, it's a good opportunity for people to settle scores with other people they don't like personally. Can do it amongst the mayhem. The mayhem gets credited with the killing, and there's the killer may actually be able to get away with it. But all that is going on right now amidst the mayhem, and it's all bad. Meanwhile, civilized people who have plenty to be guilty about all of us have plenty to feel guilty about. Okay, we should anyway. And that's why God gave us the ability to ask for forgiveness, because we got plenty to feel bad about. One of the least of which is harboring racist feelings in our hearts somewhere. That's one of the least of our problems. But Drew Brees and his wife, they're apologizing for, what I've noticed is a pattern of people wanting to repent of, for their preferred sin. Yes, there's a preferred sin that you can repent, and it's called racism. Why are people repenting of racism left and right at the drop of a hat? Because it's a lot easier than repenting of the actual sins that you should actually feel more guilty about. You know, like sexual immorality, lying, stealing, murder, things like that. It's a lot easier to just repent of racism than to repent of pornography and sexual immorality. So now we've got the preferred sin, and Brittany Brees, Drew Brees' wife, is one of the best at feigning repentance over her sin of being white. Drew Brees apologized multiple times, you'll remember, for comments against kneeling during the national anthem. And his wife, Brittany, followed it up with an apology, and now she's followed it up with more apologies. She can't apologize enough. In a tearful post on Instagram, she featured two quotes from Martin Luther King. Oh, that'll help. That'll mollify the mob. There were some comments of her own that started with, in all caps, quote, "We are the problem," unquote. And I think she's talking about herself and her husband, Drew. Why? Because they're successful. That's the problem. You're not allowed to be successful. Obviously, Drew Brees and his wife, Brittany, clawed their way to the top over the backs of African Americans. That's obviously the case. Drew Brees wouldn't be where he was if he hadn't held down so many brothers. And so now they've got to apologize for it. What does Brittany say? How could anyone who knows us or had interactions with us think that Drew or I have a racist bone in our body? She says, which she has every right to say. I never thought Drew or Brittany Brees were racists. But listen to what she says afterwards. She says, but that's the whole point. Somehow we, white America, can feel good about not being racist. That's the problem. We are not listening. White America is not hearing. We're not actively looking for racial prejudice. Okay. To all of our friends and anyone we hurt, we will do better. We want to do better. We want to hear you. We want to fight for you. Because thinking we are not a part of the problem means that we are not doing enough. We are sorry, says Brittany Breeze. Just tragic. Yeah, Brittany, I'm sure you and Drew have plenty that you could feel guilty about. But you should grovel before God, not before... And what is this white America? What's white America, Brittany? Where did that come from? See, you're playing into the delusion that the country is divided now between black and white. It's a big, fat delusion. But if we all buy into it, then it becomes true. And so Brittany's bought into it. She's ashamed of herself. She wants to repent. Anyway, it's just sad to watch. Very sad. Oh, she wants to repent of something. And so the thing is, folks, deep down, everybody wants to repent of something. And so now we've got the leftist agitators who have wanted to destroy this country for the better part of a century have seized upon the storehouse of guilt that has built up in America for all of the various sins that we've decided to tolerate as a society, the least of which is racism. The least of which is racism. What about the murder of 70 million innocent children? What about the wholesale theft of the inheritance of the three generations of our children? Much bigger problems than racism. But anyway, they've seized on to this and everybody feels so guilty because we are guilty. I mean, let's face it, folks. If you participate in the pop culture, you are participating in an ongoing act of sin for which you should repent. I'm talking about if you listen to music or you watch movies or you watch television or you watch Netflix or you watch YouTube, whatever. You're participating in a never-ending sinful act against God. And you feel guilty about it because everything's become perverse and corrupt and defiled. And so if you imbibe of that, then somewhere in your conscience, you feel bad. All right. Now from the preferred sin file, this is a classic country music band. Lady Antebellum is changing its name in support of racial equality. The decision came, they said, after conversations with some of our closest black friends. That's right. We have black friends. Did we make that clear? We have black friends. Oh, no, they would have a southern accent, right? We have black friends. That doesn't really work. Anyway, let's see. We did not take into account the associations that weighs down this word. The word. Which word? What word? Antebellum? Listen to this there, Lady Antebellum. How many of those people potentially offended by this word could have even defined the word antebellum before you bowed down and explained it to them? They wouldn't have even known what it meant. It has more than two syllables. Most of your fans and most of the people who follow Black Lives Matter and put the little black square on their Instagram, they wouldn't even know what antebellum means. But she explained, the word is referring to the period of history before the Civil War, which included slavery. Well, we know it included slavery. And in fact, the antebellum South is something that should be studied by serious scholars so that we understand what happened. So that we don't repeat a war that killed 600,000 Americans and freed the slaves, by the way. Lady Antebellum, you have plenty to repent about, Lady Antebellum. You are participants in the pop culture. I don't know anything about their music. I can assure you it's immoral. And I've never even listened to it because I wouldn't listen to a country trio unless, I don't know, if I was maybe in purgatory and tied to a stake and threatened with fire, I might listen to a country, whatever they are. But I can assure you that their music is a daily act of rebellion and sin against God for which they should feel guilty and for which they should repent, but it's a lot easier And it's a lot more fashionable to repent of the preferred sin. It's the Weekly World View, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Don't have time for the guitar solos today. We got too much news. Anti-bellum. I thought that was against bellum, and I'm against it. I won't tolerate it. And I was anti-bellum before anti-bellum was even cool. Anyway, thank you very much for bowing. Meanwhile, Winston Churchill is locked up in a box from the Decline and Fall file. The statue of Sir Winston Churchill over in England, in Parliament Square, has been imprisoned within a gray box to stop Black Lives Matter from vandalizing it again. Yes, officials say that putting Churchill in a box is an alternative to using active policing to deter the vandals, which some have claimed as an admission of defeat. You think? So the police, in order to avoid hurting someone and possibly causing another accusation of racism and rioting, have decided to just put Winston Churchill in a box. I find it interesting that, number one, that they're hiding Winston Churchill when Winston Churchill himself would not have hid. That's ironic. And they're trying to protect him from vandals, which are the same people who sacked Rome. This feels like the end of the Roman Empire, and I believe it is the end of whatever was left of Western civilization, whatever was left of what we called Christendom, is being taken by the Vandals. Yeah, the Visigoths, the Vandals, the barbarians have. The barbarians haven't overtaken the gates, but they've been handed the keys to the gates by the extraordinarily selfish wussies who now dominate Western civilization. Our political, religious, and cultural leaders are extraordinarily selfish, arrogant wussies. And this is what you get when you're led by wussies. See, because there are tough people on the other side who want to fight. And when they smell weakness, they're like animals. These people are subhuman animals. The people who are rioting. And by the way, if you go out, and I'll just repeat this from last week. If you think you're a peaceful protester marching around with your peace sign, getting high and walking down the street alongside people with Black Lives Matter placards, you are a subhuman animal as well. Because you're not able to think for yourself. You think you can hang out with those people and everything's cool. In fact, you're extremely cool. All right. From the Justice File, the Minneapolis City Council last week voted to disband the police department in Minneapolis. City Council President Lisa said that what the council members have voted cannot be vetoed by the mayor. That's right. She says it's a plan to end our city's toxic relationship with the Minneapolis Police Department. Lisa went on to say, in Minneapolis and in cities across the United States, it is clear that our existing system of policing and public safety is not keeping our communities safe. All right. Well, I would agree with that, Lisa. I would agree with that. The system of policing and public safety is not keeping our communities safe. But it's not for lack of policing. No, it's too much feminized, socialized policing. And now it's going to get even worse, which means people in the inner city in Minneapolis are going to suffer even more now, because we're going to be even nicer to the criminals, which we were already far too nice. Let's see. And we have another one of these public official, I don't know what they are, student council members in Minneapolis. The student council has taken over Minneapolis and they're going to abolish the police department. See, it would all be really funny if it wasn't real. right? This would be laughable. This would be a joke. But it's not a joke. One of the other council members said he want to start a conversation with the community about what the new community-led public safety program will entail. So instead of police, they're going to have a community-led public safety program. Okay, well, the community that the police are policing are criminals. So are you saying this is going to be a criminal-led public safety program? Well, let's get into what that looks like. How the criminals will decide how the policing will take place, and that'll solve the problem. That'll end the, what do they call it? Institutional racism. Institutional racism. Right? Is that the word? I can't remember. Is it institutional or is it? Anyway, it means you're white. If you're white, you're part of institutional racism. If you're black, you're immune from that. Okay? And if you buy into that delusion, you're part of the problem. You might as well go hang with the Visigoths and the Vandals. By the way, who pretty much run Chicago. From the Justice File, we had, 18 people were killed on Sunday, May 31st. In one day alone, 18 people shot and killed in Chicago. The single most violent day in Chicago. The data records only go back to 1961. That's when the bloodbath got so bad across America that we started counting the number of murders. Before then, murder just wasn't that big of an issue that we had to track the body count. But starting in the early 60s, as the left began to dominate the political scene, the body count started going up. So anyway, they say that it was the single most violent day in Chicago in at least six decades. And they said only in at least six decades because the records only go back to 1961. So do you think it's possible there was a more deadly day in Chicago before 1961 that we just don't have a record of? No, that's not possible. So Sunday, May 31st was the most violent day in the history of Chicago. In fact, from 7 p.m. Friday, May 29th through 11 p.m. Sunday, May 31st, 25 people were killed in the city with 85 wounded. Like a war zone in Chicago. But you know what we need is less police. We need less authority in the city. That's what this is a call for, by the way. This isn't actually a call to defund the police. It's dressed up as that because that sounds cool. And plus, that's really what that's all about is these groups and these people, they want money. They want their charities, their so-called racial equality and racial this and racial that. They want their charities pumped up with money so they can get inflated salaries and have a comfortable retirement. That's a part of this, a big part. So defund the police means redirect funds to our charities, which people are starting charities left and right now because they're all going to be bellying up to the bar very soon. And corporate America can't hand out the cash fast enough. Let's see here. Now I've lost my train of thought. That's okay. I don't have to think. None of us have to think. We were all told to stop thinking several months ago. Stop the S, and we've done a magnificent job of it so far. Don't screw it up. Don't start thinking now. All right. We go now to the Justice File where a 24-year-old's been charged in connection with the murder of retired St. Louis Police Captain David Dorn. 24-year-old Stephen Cannon has been charged with first-degree murder, first-degree robbery, burglary, three counts of armed criminal association, as well as being a felon in possession of a firearm. Surveillance video showed they showed a Pontiac G6 pull up. Cannon got out of the G6. Then it shows David Dorn arriving. And then it shows Cannon approaching the corner of the store with a gun in his hand. Moments later, Captain Dorn is seen on the video shot. Charging documents say it is apparent from the surveillance that at the time that the shots were fired, Cannon was the only person standing at that corner. Multiple plumes of smoke were seen coming from the area where only Cannon was standing. Once Dorn has been shot, Cannon can be seen approaching the door of the pawn shop and later walking out with a TV, which was later recovered at the residence where Cannon was arrested. Cannon admitted he was inside the pawn shop that night. All right. So, am I ready to call this kid a murderer? I'm just about ready. Yeah, I'd like to see more of the video to make sure it was him, but it sure looks like he murdered David Dorn. It sure looks like it. And we will find out in due time. Meanwhile, up in Portland, the police chief resigned last week, just 6 months after she started her job. And she's been replaced, thankfully, with an African-American lieutenant. So that means that Portland's no longer racist, right? So the mobs will stop now because they'll be sated by the fact that an African-American has replaced the white chick who was the police chief. No, that's not going to happen. In fact, they're going to demand more. In fact, I think, let's see, this happened last Monday. I believe there's already been other violence and riots, riot-type activity in Portland since then. Yeah, they tried to occupy a portion of the city, but they weren't able to because they were all wasted. Right? Anyway, let's see. The police in Portland had been criticized for using inappropriate force against the protesters. Yeah, I agree there was inappropriate force used. They should have shot the first guy who threw a rock or started a fire. Then you'd have been using appropriate force. But because inappropriate force was used, the riots continue. All right. But no, they're saying that they shouldn't have been spraying tear gas or shooting rubber bullets. Anyway, the new police chief, got down on his bended knees and said, I'm going to listen. I'm going to care about the community. I'm looking forward to this journey. Oh, good luck, buddy. You're gonna be. All right. Let's see. Portland City Commissioner Joanne says, I'm troubled by the excessive force that was used nightly by Portland police. Community members were getting tear gas and were getting beaten. Now, the police say that they actually encourage peaceful protests, but violent groups come out at night and engage in mayhem. What do you have to say to that, City Commissioner Joanne?
I don't like it. It's bad. I think it's bad.
That was not actually a quote from Commissioner Joanne. Anyway, community leaders have credited Jamie Resch, the former Portland police chief. They have commended her for stepping down. Okay. And now, there's one white scalp. How many more will the mob have to take before they'll be satisfied? There is no limit to the number of white scalps to be taken. All right. Meanwhile, Eric Garcetti, who still has his scalp for the moment, Garcetti claiming that he wore a mask when he took a knee during that Black Lives Matter riot. He's claiming that despite video and photographic evidence that in fact he did not wear a mask. And then in the story, there's a picture of him on his knees before the rioters without a mask. But what about the pit? Don't ask. You were told to stop thinking several months ago and you've been doing just fine at it. Don't bring up things like the facts or the evidence. Allowed to question Mr. Garcetti, except for the fact that he's white, so maybe we will be able to question him soon. Well, us white people won't, but the black folks will. Anyway, and then now listen to what Garcetti said. The standard is closer than 6 feet for 10 minutes, then you're supposed to wear a mask. Where did that come from? I never heard that. In fact, the way people look at me at the store, it doesn't matter how close you are to anyone, you better have a mask on. 6 feet for 10 minutes? Did he just make that up? You're not allowed to ask. Stop thinking. Were you told you could start thinking again, sir? Okay, we'll tell you when you can start thinking. And it'll be never. The standard is closer than 6 feet for 10 minutes. That's when you're at high risk. So I was following that advice, limiting the amount of time and wearing a mask. 2 out of 3 ain't bad, says Garcetti. As they snap his picture not wearing a mask. All right. Okay, so Garcetti, I predict that Gil Garcetti will resign in shame for being white. That's my bold prediction, and it's not that bold. Because repenting of the sin of being white is even more preferred than repenting of the preferred sin of racism. Yes, forget about the pornography that Garcetti allows to be pumped in every home in Los Angeles every night. Forget about the slaughter of innocent children that Garcetti presides over every day in his position of authority when he runs a police department that could stop it. Forget about repenting of all that, Mr. Garcetti. Just lie to our face until we make you repent for being white. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us, folks. I got two scenes that I want to paint for you, two pictures I want to paint in your mind. The first one is funny. So picture the mass resignation of white leftist politicians all over America live on CNN as guilty white liberals resign and beg to be replaced by African Americans. Just think about it. That might be coming, right? Seems, but now, so that's kind of funny, maybe not ha-ha funny, but amusing, let's say. But now, think of this. Visualize the mass resignation of police officers in every major metropolitan area in the country, because that may very well be coming as well. I mean, how much can they be expected to take? I listened to the live reportage on the Atlanta shooting. As the story was unfolding, I watched it live, and I heard commentators and political figures, both the reporters and the political figures, asking, why didn't the cops just let the guy run away? So here's a guy who had just beaten two police officers and taken their taser from them. And it's considered legitimate to debate whether or not they should have just let him get away. Just shocking. Well, they had his car. Where was he going to go? Well, that's just the point. The cops didn't know where he was going to go. And they didn't know what he was going to do. They knew that he had just beaten them both up and taken their taser and fired it at them. Did you maybe consider the fact that he might have been a threat to society? No, there's no indication. A madman who beats up two police and escapes. No, they should have just waited, and then he would have turned up, you know. They would have found him eventually. Just unbelievable and shocking. All right, but meanwhile, there's other things happening besides the dual stereo delusion of institutional racism in America, and the coronavirus is basically the black plague that's going to kill us all. These are the two dominant delusions. But there's other actual news. From the treason file, former Harvard professor Charles Lieber has been indicted. The allegations are that he maintained an undisclosed financial relationship with the Chinese government, which is the Chinese Communist Party. That's right. The scheme is part of China's Thousand Talents program, which seeks to pay Western academics to hand over research funded by the government of their home countries. This Thousand Talents rewarded individuals for stealing proprietary information. Yeah, that's right. The Wuhan University of Technology allegedly paid Lieber a salary of up to $50,000 per month, living expenses worth $150,000, and awarded him more than $1.5 million to establish a research lab at the Wuhan University of Technology. It is all just very honorable exchange of education material. This is all part of Confucius' program, because Confucius is very good. American love Confucius. All right. Meanwhile, 54 scientists in total have resigned or been fired as a result of an ongoing investigation by the National Institutes of Health into failure of said scientists to disclose financial ties to foreign governments. Foreign governments, plural? Really? 93% of them were China. So we've been infiltrated by the enemy, and they didn't have to shoot anyone. They just bribed people. Now, there's a sin that people should feel guilty about, allowing yourself to be bribed by a communist dictatorship to steal proprietary information from the university and the technology industry here in America. You could feel real guilty about that. That's something that all these white liberal professors should be repenting about. Instead, they're happy to kneel before Black Lives Matter to ameliorate the guilt of having sold their country out to the enemy. All right. Meanwhile, CNBC reports that Zoom, are you guys familiar with Zoom? Zoom became a household word during the lockdowns, because every company in America is addicted to Zoom meetings. Because it's a nifty technology. It works pretty cool, right? Well, I would admonish you and warn you that there is the high likelihood that Zoom is a surveillance tool of the Chinese Communist Party. So everything you say on your Zoom meeting, the Chinese Communist Party, I believe, has the ability to listen to it. And I believe they are listening to it, in search of proprietary information, in search of new business ideas that they can steal and reproduce by slaves. So all you morons doing your Zoom meetings, you're supporting the Chinese Communist Party right after they participated in a cover-up that destroyed the world economy and basically has allowed them free rein to, well, I think pretty much do whatever they want. We shall see. But Zoom, according to CNBC... Zoom shut down the account of an activist who was holding an event to commemorate China's Tiananmen Square crackdown. All you idiots using Zoom, you don't even remember what Tiananmen Square was. You just think it's a really cool-looking square in Beijing. You don't even remember the tanks rolling over the students who just wanted to be free. None of that matters, because Zoom is really cool, man. It works really cool. Like, when you start talking, your face pops up, and then when another dude starts talking, his face pops up. So cool, man. Anyway, Zoom confirmed it had shut the account down, the account of Humanitarian China. They say they did it to comply with local law. The incident prompted Zhao Fengshu, founder of Humanitarian China, to suggest that Zoom, quote, acted on pressure from the Chinese Communist Party. Well, I would posit that Zoom is the Chinese Communist Party. It is them. So they act every day on pressure from the Chinese Communist Party, because that's who they are. And they're in basically every executive suite in America. Free technology from China, right, to host virtual meetings. Genius, genius. What a great idea. I mean, you got to hand it to the Chinese. They are thinking. They didn't stop thinking, despite the Wuhan virus panic and all that. All right, now, from the widespread tyranny file. Now, this, folks, is terrifying to me. Because this comes in... I had a conversation with another doctor this past week about, you know, how do we walk back the masks and the social distancing and the... How do we walk that back, you know? Because there's other viruses out there. There's other germs that can make people sick and even kill people. And he said he doesn't think we ever walk it back. He said, this is life. This is the new normal. This is the new normal. No, this is the no normal, in my opinion. This is insanity. But listen, okay, so I had this conversation with this millennial zit-faced doctor, right, who thinks that we're actually going to do this for the rest of our life. He thinks he's going to wear a mask to work for the rest of his life, I think. Okay, so I hear that. So that really shakes my faith in the future of Western civilization. I mean, if it's in the hands of these petrified, snot-nosed little cowardly children, then surely all is lost. Well, then I read this from Breitbart. And folks, this is going to happen. This is happening in China right now. Beijing has carried out mass testing for the coronavirus today after a new outbreak happened, you see. A fresh cluster. Oh, there was a cluster. Uh-huh. And that raised the specter of a return to painful restrictions. Yes. Yes, the Chinese government reported 57 new infections, all linked to a certain market in a certain town. And they say now people entering from Beijing will have to quarantine. They plan to carry out tests on 46,000 residents. They've set up 24 testing stations. And they're going to now trace those who have visited the market. And in nearby streets, residents, some are under lockdown and restaurants have been closed. So, folks, when all this panic first started, I remember watching as they locked down Wuhan. And then that didn't work, and so naturally, we all copied that strategy, which struck me as bizarre. But that's what we did. Why? Because our political leadership is dominated by tyrants who saw an opportunity to gain power because the people were scared. Because America is dominated by extraordinarily selfish, cowardly wussies. That's why. So first in China, then in America. So this is happening in China today, Sunday, whatever day today is, Sunday, June 14th. This is happening today in China. So get ready, folks, because as the summer goes, the rates of new cases will decline naturally. But then soon as the fall comes around, as soon as they start reporting clusters, oh, there's clusters, there might be a spike. They're going to all remind us that we don't want to go into lockdown again, do we? No, so you better do what we say. Don't think about it. You were told to stop thinking sometime in March, and you've complied quite nicely. Thank you very much. We're going to test you. We're going to trace you. We're going to track you. You're going to wear a mask. You're going to stay 6 feet away. If you're running a restaurant, you're going to operate it at 25% capacity. And they may have found the ability, because people are so cowardly now, they may have found a vehicle by which they can manipulate and control us for the rest of our lives. The fear of getting sick and maybe dying apparently is the vehicle that is going to allow the collapse of the free market and the onset of the socialist, the full-on socialist, I should just say it, the full-on communist state that will now dominate the world for 1,000 years of darkness. 1,000 years of darkness if somebody doesn't start thinking and somebody doesn't say it loud and clear. This is the no normal. host, Doug McBurney. Thank you. Thank you for sticking with us, folks, as we enter into the... It's the final segment of the show, and we go into the No Normal file. It's a new file that I just created when I coined that term, the No Normal, which I hope will trend, but I'm not very hopeful. But it started, folks. It started. Remember, I told you, if you remember, I told you that it's just a matter of time before they begin telling us that the lockdowns worked, right? Because nobody wants to be held responsible for the greatest mistake in all of human history. And so there will be no admitting that it was a mistake. In fact, they're going to tell us it saved us from catastrophe. Well, now here it is, the very first. We've got a study published just this past Monday. And peer-reviewed, by the way. Peer-reviewed in the scientific journal Nature. Yes, it says that the shutdowns prevented millions of infections. Millions. They say they estimate 60 million infections were avoided due to the lockdown. How did they come up with this? Well, the study's authors used a reduced form technique, more commonly used to measure economic growth rates. They argued that, similar to COVID-19 infections, economic output generally increases exponentially as a result of policies and other conditions. All right. So first of all, the leftists have never admitted that you could have exponential economic growth based on, say, cutting a tax rate or something like that. Anyway, but they are willing to use it to basically massage the idea that they all already agreed to before they even started the study. That we need a study that proves that this worked. Let's make it happen, folks. And they've done it. Dr. Kevin Dykhaus, chief of infectious disease at University of Connecticut Health, says that... he's part of this study that's peer-reviewed, by the way, but all the peers are grinding the same axe. So what good is the peer review system when all the peers are grinding the same axe? Keep that in mind. They're all heavily invested in the fact that these lockdowns work because they all agreed to it. They all thought it was a good idea. Not a single one of them stood up and said, "This is insane. Are you people crazy?" And so they're all invested now. Dr. Dykhaus, the chief of infectious disease, University of Connecticut Health, says he expects the USA will be able to decouple economic activity and case transmission as some businesses restructure office settings to promote social distancing, schedule constant disinfecting, and require a mask. So Dr. Kevin Dykhaus agrees with my optometrist that this is how we're going to live now for the rest of our lives. So, and folks, just in case you doubted that first study written by experts heavily invested in the idea that the lockdowns work, they've also got a second study that was published Monday in the journal Nature, found such lockdown methods may have prevented more than 3 million deaths across 11 European countries. How did they come to that conclusion? Don't ask that. You were asked to stop thinking months ago. Done very well so far. We'd appreciate it if you'd just continue and put your mask on. Maintain social distance. For life. All right. Let's see. Oh, and then the end of the story here. This is from Yahoo News. Yahoo News? Huh? It doesn't. Anyway, I think it's the Associated Press. The fall may bring more cases. What? That's terrifying. Officials and residents, we're told, though, have the power to manage cases by upholding preventative measures. So, folks, it's as if this new virus now has achieved superstar status as the disease to be feared over all other diseases, and it is apparently the vehicle by which the communists are going to take over the whole world all at once. Finally, from Dr. Dykhaus, the idea with all these changes, you see, is to continue the economic activity, but doing it in a way that doesn't transmit the virus. as if that were possible. As if I expect you morons to believe that it's possible to interact without transmitting viruses. But you know what? You people do believe it. Unbelievable. Folks, you cannot live a life as a human without transmitting viruses and bacteria and other gross, dangerous things to one another all the time. Get over it. No, they're not going to get over it. No. I fear. Now, I will tell you that my extremely attractive audio engineer is of the belief that human nature will eventually dominate and that this insanity will subside and that we'll be able to take off the masks and the gloves and the 6 feet and all this insanity. And I sincerely hope she's right.
Why is that? Because people are lazy.
Because people are lazy, yes. The laziness will win out over the fear of this particular virus. Well, we go now to decline and fall file, where the national debt rose above $26 trillion for the first time this past week. It's climbing upward at a startling pace, according to this Fox News story. So the national debt hit $24 trillion on April 7th, $25 trillion on May 5th, and $26 trillion on June whatever. So we're going into debt at the rate of an additional $1 trillion every month. Now, that's never been done before. Well, maybe. You know, maybe in the last days of Rome, they were squandering the equivalent of $1 trillion a month. That's completely possible. This may have happened at the very end of other empires. Just like the whole homosexuality thing. Uh-huh. Anyway, Fox News says that the Treasury Department says the U.S. is borrowing more in the second quarter than in the entire year of 2019. Why? Because of efforts to combat the coronavirus pandemic. That's a total lie. That's a complete and utter fabrication. They're not spending this money to combat the coronavirus pandemic. They're spending this money because they made the biggest mistake in all of human history in shutting down the economy and breaking the whole world. And now they got to try to cover that up, but it'll all come out, folks. It'll all come out. History will judge. You just wait. All right, now stepping away from the dual stereo delusion of, is it institutional racism? I feel like I got the wrong word. They have another catchphrase for it, but it basically means if you're white, you're racist, and if you think you're not racist, that's because you're a racist. Systemic institutional, I forget. I can't remember. So that's the one delusion. The other is that the coronavirus is the most deadly disease ever, which has been proven a lie, proven to be untrue, but that doesn't matter. We're going to remain as scared as we were when we thought it was basically like the measles, but it kills you like Ebola. You catch it like the measles, it kills you like Ebola. We're going to maintain that level of fear no matter what the facts say. So there we've got, we're going to step away from those two delusions back into the real world. Into the domestic tranquility file, where an argument began when Michael Close heard Darian Simon encouraging his dog to go to the bathroom. Well, Mr. Close apparently did not like the way Mr. Simon was talking to his dog. So Simon claims that Close yelled at him and said, "Are you going to train your dog or you're just going to yell at it?" So we have a disagreement over the technique used to encourage a dog to poop. That's what initiated the argument. So naturally, the guy who yelled, "Are you going to train your dog?" proceeded to shoot into the apartment of Mr. Simon and his girlfriend. Mr. Simon was wounded. His girlfriend, 21-year-old Isabella Thallis, was killed. And this is just, this is another afternoon in Denver. Where someone gets, they don't like the way they're trained. And so one of the options you might select to vent your anger or express yourself against your neighbor would be to just start firing shots into their apartment, killing a woman. Murder is an option that, people select that option all the time these days. You know, you have an embarrassing pregnancy that may threaten the position of a relatively successful man, and he chooses to murder the child. Been going on for decades. And now we're just choosing murder a little later and later in people's lives. But should that really offend anyone? I mean, is there really even a need to call the police? Meanwhile, a group was, this is San Antonio, Texas. The New York Post reports that a group was denied entry into a bar because they were too drunk. Which is a Anyway, yeah, that's a commentary right there on the state of things in America. So one of the men went back to his car, pulled out a rifle, and began to spray bullets into the bar. Because, you know, he was upset. And so 8 people were hit by bullets. 2 were not wounded seriously. 6 others were in the local hospitals. They're stable and expected to survive. But guy gets, you know, you can't come in the bar. You're too drunk. He decides to just shoot into the bar. Because it's the last days of Rome. The last days of Berlin. I don't know how to describe this. Antifa is allowed to occupy portions of an American city. And who's going to save us? Well, it ain't going to be anyone from the pulpit, I don't think. It ain't going to be anyone from the world of politics. I don't believe salvation will come from the pop culture, from any of our celebrity influencers out there. Don't think so. But maybe it will be the Hell's Angels and the Mongols. That's right. Bikers, I said, have begun feuding with Antifa. Yes, last week, Bikers for Trump hatched a plan to reclaim the Capitol Hill area being occupied by Antifa in Seattle. And so they said that if on the 4th of July, the governing officials in Seattle haven't taken back Chaz, they're going to take it. The Hell's Angels and the Mongols, which are drug-dealing, violent biker gangs. And now, in a deleted tweet, Antifa, a biker said that Antifa have threatened the town of Placerville, California. And the biker said, so the Hell's Angels and the Mongols bikers have accepted the challenge and say they're going to defend Placerville against Antifa. So we've got the Vandals and the Visigoths fighting for dominance outside the city walls before they go in and pillage the city. It's just unbelievable. You know, in the past, folks, in America's history, if for those of you who are able to think, if you want to, I mean, I don't want to obligate anyone. Because, I mean, you've all been doing so wonderfully at not thinking. I don't want to burden anyone with maybe making an effort to think or to study history or to go back and read books. I mean, in the past, the movement for American independence was led from the pulpit. The movement for the abolition of slavery was led from the pulpit. And now that the communists are marching on us in broad daylight, the salvation of America has apparently fallen to the barbarians. The Hell's Angels and the Mongols, are they the only ones with the courage to stand up against all this? Well, no one could be found in the pulpits. They were all hiding from the virus. Or they were bowing and begging forgiveness for the sin of being white, because obviously if you're white, you're a racist, and if you don't want to admit you're a racist, it's because you're racist, and we know that's because you're white. And the fact that you act like a Christian makes it even worse. All right, so the Visigoths are going to save Rome from the Vandals, apparently. Now, from the widespread cowardice file, the Federalist, an essay in the Federalist reports that Christian leaders were quick to break social distancing guidelines to go stand with Black Lives Matter, but they appear loath to fight back against the ban on church services. So I did not know this, but in many of the cities where the riots and the looting took place, there were Christian ministers, allegedly, ostensibly, whatever, marching in the mostly peaceful part of the protest, you know, before the riots started. Even though we knew the riots were coming later in the night, we don't consider ourselves a part of that. We're part of the mostly peaceful protest. Apparently, there were Christian leaders who marched in the protests whose churches are still closed. And so here on Sunday morning, they're either marching with Antifa, marching with Black Lives Matter, or they're at home watching Netflix because they're not at church because their churches are still closed. It's kind of strange, huh? It's a depressing turn of events what we've seen happening with the churches, but here we are, folks. So a little bit of good news, though. Okay, I got a couple stories that are actually pretty good. Antonio Gwynn Jr. in Buffalo saw the destruction on TV, the damage, the looting, the breaking of windows. So at 2 o'clock in the morning on Monday, he grabbed a broom, bought some trash bags, and he started cleaning up. And the kid cleaned for 10 hours. An organized group of neighbors arrived later that morning to start cleaning up the damage, and they found that Antonio Gwynn had already done most of the work. So one fellow named Matt saw the story on Facebook, and he decided to give Antonio a red Mustang convertible as a reward for cleaning up Buffalo. How about that? Now, Antonio Gwynn had planned to go to trade school and save up his money to go to college. But after hearing his story, a college in Buffalo offered him a full scholarship where he plans to study business starting this fall. One of his career goals is to open up a cleaning business. All right, well, he probably would have been better off going to trade school. And you don't need to go to college to study business, Antonio. It sounds like you've got what it takes to figure it out on the fly. You know, I would skip the college. I would just take the money and I would invest in some cleaning supplies and start a business. But anyway, that's an awesome story. Come from Buffalo, the city of my birth. And if there's any city that needs a cleaning, even before the riots, it's Buffalo. All right. No, I love Buffalo. You're all wonderful in Buffalo. I have a lot of fans in Buffalo. I don't want to offend anybody up there. It's a beautiful place 2 months out of the year. All right. Now, meanwhile, the Daily Caller reports that a lot of American kids have now gotten a taste of homeschooling. And yes, most of them didn't like it, and that was the main story that everyone covered. But let's just keep this in mind, folks. Over 55 million children all have now been exposed to homeschooling for the first time. And opponents of homeschooling are freaking out. That's right, they've launched several unfounded attacks on the practice of homeschooling. The Washington Post ran an opinion piece claiming that homeschooling will set back a generation of children. And there was an article in Salon magazine, homeschooling as a result of the pandemic will likely worsen education for students and pose serious problems to the economy and the nation's social well-being. All right, so this is almost like all of the problems with the economy and social well-being that are lurking and about to hit us from this idiotic idea of locking down, they're going to blame it on homeschooling, I guess. Donald Trump and homeschooling, that's the problem. Anyway, the most relentless attacks, as you know, have come from Harvard University because we've reported on them here. But here's the good news, folks. If only 2% of the families with children who attended government schools before the lockdown decide to continue homeschooling, that would lead to around 1 million more homeschoolers just in the next year. That would be about a 60% increase in the homeschool population. And folks, if you've ever done mass marketing, 2% sticks, right? It sticks. So 2% is probably logical that that'll happen. An image of actual schools reopening in Europe showed young children each trapped in one-person play spaces, one-way hallways, desks 6 feet apart, closed gyms, closed libraries, closed playgrounds, closed cafeterias. Wow. And also, by the way, a peer-reviewed systematic review of the evidence shows that homeschoolers generally fare better academically and socially than their peers in government schools. Thank you very much. That's the show, folks. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio and my friends at American Right to Life and, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview Studio, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.